And you might like to turn in your Bible over to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 1. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we're looking to you. Here we are in the midst of everything. God, thank you that we can be assembled, as was said, your day, your time, weather permitting. And God, whether or not it does permit, it's always your day, and it's always your time. So deal with us. Here we are. Encourage all the others. And our Father, we'll thank you for what you do and how you do it. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our looking at Ephesians chapter 6, etc., if I can, putting that a little bit in front of us, Ephesians, you will note, is telling us we have a wonderful, awesome position before God. So when a person comes to know the Lord as a Savior, salvation is an awesome thing. It was always awesome when Abraham came to know God and David did. That was awesome, there's no question. But our awesomeness exceeds theirs. So, and therefore, just to see it, over in Ephesians 1, verse 3 again, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us, remember we looked at the blessing, who hath blessed us, given us all the privileges and benefits that God made possible in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. All of those benefits. Has blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has already blessed us with what? With all spiritual blessings. Where is the source of all these blessings? In heavenly places. It isn't down in Washington or anywhere else. It's in heavenly places. All of it comes from God. All of it. That's awesome. Hang on. Add to that. Chapter 1, verse 20. I'll even read verse 19, little context. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, this awesome resurrected power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, where? In heavenly places, the perfect humanity of the crucified Christ, risen, is seated in heavenly places. All our blessings, all we're getting is because of him from heavenly places. And to add to it, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Add to that, your position, the believer is positioned in Christ where he is. He's seated. The believer is seated. Where are they seated? In heavenly places. Awesome. Well, he's still here. That's right. Now, having said that, over, if I can, in the light of that, that is not the way to go in the world system in which we live, because the God of this world, the devil himself, is against everything that is light and right, and good, and God, against everything. So, in his kingdom of darkness, in his rule as the God of this world, he rules. And so the world that we get saved out of when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ That world is characterized by darkness and evil. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince, the ruler, of the power of the air, that now worketh in the children of disobedience, unbelieving ones. Among whom, verse 3, also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, that's where we were. When we believed, God transferred us, took us by way of the cross, and we agreed with what he has done on the cross, and therefore we believed, and we have the benefit. God took us from Ephesians 2, 2 and 3, add to that, over to chapter 2, verse 11. Wherefore, remember that in time past, you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, this body, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision. In other words, the Jews see the Gentiles differently. In the flesh, made by hands, that at that time we were without Christ, being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And to add to that, chapter 4, verse 17, and adding, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Why? Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So, what have we got? We've got a problem, because here the believers are that believe, and they're lifted up and given a heavenly, holy, happy position, and they're still on earth, and they're light. They're to be lights in the darkness, and the darkness, the world of darkness, hates the light. So, having hates the light, and it's against the light, but we got saved out of the system. So, having got saved out of the system. And having said that, now, we're having got that part, that is, the believer gets saved, the rest of the world system is not happy when you get saved. Why? It isn't that you got saved so much as that God found his home in your heart and that you become a light. You aren't a light. I'm not a light. But he is a light. And when you receive the light, Christ in you, the light of the world. When I receive Christ, I become a light. But when you receive Christ, he is the light. He is the light of your life. He is your life. Now, hang on to that. Now, there's a problem. What's the problem with this, the light versus darkness, a good versus evil? Heavenly position versus earthly. What's the problem? Now, why do we need the armor? So, Romans chapter 1. And in Romans in chapter 1, you would recall... go to chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all, A-O-L, ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who are holding the truth in unrighteousness. They don't want the truth. The world loves darkness. It hates light. And it doesn't want the truth. Hang on. Not, let me add, build it a little more. Verse 25. Who changed? What did they change? They didn't want to have righteousness. They didn't want to all the problems, which is maybe a reason why our country was so into the wrong things that God allowed the president to get in, because he said, enough's enough. Got to slow it down. Now, so here in Romans, in chapter 1, verse 32, who, the world, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things, as you read what I just said, immorality and all that, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They applaud. Every coup and everything goes wrong. They applaud them. They prod them. Add to that, chapter 2. Verse 1, I'll read the little context. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same things. Verse 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Get the idea? The problem is truth. Truth. Truth and lie. Right and wrong. Dark. Dark and light. It's truth. Truth. What are we putting when we looked at it? You don't have to turn there yet. Ephesians 6 and 14. Gird yourself, loins, with the truth. The loins, the power for your whole body. Works from down there. Wow. Truth. The only way you're going to conquer, you got a problem with the truth. The world loves lies. They don't want the truth. There's war. That's the problem. And if you don't put on the whole armor of God, you are in trouble, because the world's going to try to do everything and anything to keep you from ever enjoying being a light and being in the truth. Hang on. So, and the armor of God, by the way, belongs to whom? To whom does the armor belong? It's God's armor. So what is the armor of God that we're supposed to be wearing? It's the truth. The truth. As we shared with the shirt. The truth. Put on. Here's our regular old nature. And we're saved and God gives us a new one. Wear it. The truth. The truth. That's the whole issue. Put on the armor of God. Gird your loins with truth. Truth. Let me keep going. On your way back to James. Stop at James in chapter 4. And in James chapter 4, picking up if I may. Now, remember this over the darkness side and the light side, the truth and the error. They're opposite and opposing each other. Now, what do we know? Us humans, chapter 4, verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your own lust, word lust, desires, of your own lust desires, that your war, that war in your members. In other words, we desire what you have, and I'm going to try to take it. War. Verse 2, you lust and have not. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not, etc. You ask, verse 3, and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust desires. You just want what you want for what I want. I want that piece of property. I want the Ukraine or whatever you want to call it. And do what you want. That's what I want. So, having got that war, we all got that. We live in the flesh. In this body, we have our old nature. We're earthbound. Our senses, feelings, ice, cold, hot, good, bad. That's what we do. Dark, light. That's where we are. That's us, normal. You have to understand that's true. But over this system, you read it in Ephesians 2, the prince of this world, the ruler of the world system. We got this part. We live under the system. Easy. Here we are living in, coming and going in back and forth here, probably in Connecticut. Here we're doing that. Now, there's a whole rest of the world around us, and they're all doing what they're doing. But all the while we're doing what we're doing the powers that be, Washington, the World Bank, the whole system out there, the big system that runs everything. We don't see them. We don't see them. We don't look at them. They run everything. But we just live down here. Ah, but they're up there, are they not? They run the system. What are you saying, God, in Ephesians 6? Your enemy. Chapter 6 now. Ephesians. And chapter 6 in Ephesians, going, if I can, directly to verse 12 and what we just looked at, said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I just told you, we do that, but the issue isn't really. It's the bosses that run this thing. Keep reading. But we wrestle not, N-O-T, against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The whole system. That's all. We don't see that. You need the armor on to cope with the system that you live under. Understand? You need the armor on because that's the thing that's running it. The God of this world, the prince of the power of the air, they're running it. We're down here, we don't even pay attention to them. And without the armor on, we aren't conscious. There's another war. There's another kind of fighting. There's another kind of evil, bad. But we don't see it when we go to the grocery store. We don't see it when we go to the work or school. We just don't see it. It's there without the armor. You are going to be caught up more than you want to be. You need the whole armor of God. Now, I hope you're getting a little to see it. Against principalities and powers. Against now. Having said that, and keeping that in mind, go over, if I can, to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians, and you will note, just to get, so you can tie the pieces together, I remember now in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel, the good news, be hid, in other words, we don't see any good news. We just live in this system with no understanding of God's word. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Well, what about, why are people lost? Because they choose not to believe the truth. They choose not to do it. They don't want to receive the truth. So therefore, verse 4, I'm going to give you the reason. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. They don't want to know. So what do you do when you don't want to know? I don't want to know. I don't believe that. What do you do with people like that? What are you going to do? The God, he got you. You knew it, but you didn't want to believe it. You didn't want the truth. You didn't want the truth. And you're left with a lie. You're left with error in the name of whatever. Whatever religion, whatever politic you want, you're left with the system, the world system. Now, so therefore, God, when you say all these things to the Corinthians, boy, you keep going for them, which is what we know. And therefore, verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. What are we doing? We're going to let you know what it says. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined where? In our hearts when we believed. What for? To give the light of the knowledge. The light and knowledge to see what? The light and of the knowledge of the glory of God, of light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. You received God, the light. The world hates light. It hates Christ in you. Hates it. Wow, hang on. Now, and having said that, and what is that too in this? We're all, you know, Genesis 3 and 19. All us humans, we are formed from the dust of the ground. We formed dust, Genesis 2, from the dust. 3:19, we are dust. And we go back to what? Dust. Got that? Now, 2 Corinthians 4, 7. But having such an awesome, remember what we said in the beginning, you received Christ as your Savior, you're new creatures in Christ, you're seated in heavenly places, you're blessed with all heavenly blessings, that's your position. Now, having said, the system doesn't want you to ever, ever, ever appreciate that, to experience it. That's the gospel. Now, so, what do we got? Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency, the what? That kind of excellency, that kind of power beyond measurement. You can't measure the power. It is a super surpassing power beyond anything you can measure. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Yeah, so put on the whole armor of God. It's God's armor. Where am I going to get that? Where am I going to get God? Remember, we've been sharing it. When you receive Christ as your Savior, God took over your head to your toe. He bought you with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. The Spirit of God lets it be known without any question, you're not your own. You're going to try to live apart from me, said God, but you're not your own. You're bought with a price. I own the body. Same hands, but I took them over. It's a body of dust that the glory delights in. What a body of dust. The light, the glory of it. The glory isn't in a great big super-duper chandelier with all kinds of gold and silver. It isn't in that kind of body. It's a body of dust. So that all the glory goes to God. He gets all the glory. It's his problem. He has a problem with the devil and the system and their love of the darkness and their hatred of the truth. Now, I'm trying to watch everything now. You're getting a little bit. I got to get you. You got to put it together. Takes a little bit. Now, so having therefore, sliding down while you're right here, 2 Corinthians 4, so you see it. We have this treasure, etc. Therefore, what's the result? It's going to do what? We are troubled on every side, verse 8, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're discouraged, but never depressed. And we don't get discouraged because we're to be full of courage. Verse 9, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed, etc. God, what kind of thing is that? You don't have to turn there for time. Romans 8 and 36. We are as sheep for the slaughter. Are we not? We're depressed. You just read it. Persecuted, but we never lose. Right. Romans 8:36, 8:37. You're more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. You're a winner. In a losing situation, you're the winner. I told you, I'm going to leave you there. You aren't going to make the darkness go away. You aren't going to fix the bar room. You aren't going to fix the human heart. The human heart has to be saved. But what you're going to do is be my evidence, be an evidence about what? The truth. You're going to be a testimony to the truth. And, boy, I get sidetracked. Now, you got the idea? A little. Now, having said that, so the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, and having done that, so, in the process, we're going to walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ is going to cleanse us from all sin. And Titus 1 and all that, you know what. Titus 1, do it, why not? Do something. Titus. Titus 1, just to remind yourself. Titus 1, verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. He can't lie. It's important. Over to Hebrews. He can't lie. Hebrews chapter 6. And in 6, I think. In Hebrews chapter 6, picking up, if I can, verse 18. That by 2:6-18 Hebrews, that by two immutable, unchangeable things, the promise and the oath, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. God, you can't lie. No, I can't lie. The world is a liar. and you know without turning there, though I will have you turn there. Gospel of John. And you can't hear it. You won't hear it better than that. Gospel of John and chapter 8. And you'll note, remember the whole issue is truth. And in the process, sliding down to verse 43, why do you not understand my speech, said the Lord Jesus? Because you cannot hear my word. You are, verse 44, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust desires of your father, you will do. He desires and wishes you to goof, and you goof. He wants you not to believe, and you don't believe. He wants you to be discouraged, and you get discouraged. He wants you to be disappointed, and you get disappointed. He's there. That's his thing. He's going to create lies. Because when Christ crucified you, you're reckoning yourself what? Dead. Dead people don't have any more dessert. I mean, dead people never get discouraged. They never get disappointed. You couldn't bother. And we tell you, go to the cemetery and sit in front of those places there and look at it, talk to it. You can say whatever you want. Go to the mortuary where you can see one laying in a casket. And go talk to them. They don't care what you say. They don't care what you think. No. Reckon yourself dead. Back over to John 8 and verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Father of it. That's what he does. All he can do is tell you that what isn't true. No matter how you cut the cookie, whatever he says is the opposite of the truth. And you have to think about that. Think about it. Father is the White House, here's the president, and here's the Russia, and here's China, and all of that. And here's all our governments and different kings doing different, having countries they rule over, Muslim, et cetera. Are they the ruler? No. Their rule is but this little bit. They sit at the top of the pile and go down. God rules in the kingdom of men. All the while, Adolf Hitler, Benito Mussolini, Hirohito, all of them are there for a while. They don't keep ruling. God rules. Daniel 4 and 17, God rules in the kingdom of men. That's a lie that they rule. God rules. But we believe them, and we're under their thumb. Sure we are. Ephesians 2:2, the God of this world, you're under his domain. And you live like we live like we do. Now, having said that, the lie, and at least we'll put that together a little bit, over if I can. To Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. And in 2 Thessalonians, picking up, please, if I may, going directly in the light of the verse 7, the mystery of lawlessness, 2 Thessalonians 2:7, the mystery of iniquity, lawlessness, is already working. Sliding down to verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, that's the Antichrist, with all power and signs and what kind of wonders? Lying wonders. Keep going. lying wonders. They aren't real. They're real, but they're deceiving. It's meant to deceive. It's meant to give you an impression that the system really is legit. The system isn't legit. God's going to knock the whole thing out of business when he comes at the end of the tribulation. And he's going to rule with a rod of iron. And then he's going to rule forever. The system is a lie. Now, we're under it, and we're to recognize it and honor it in that sense. But it isn't true. So what are we doing, God? Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God. Gird yourself with truth. Truth. It happens to be true. And I can't do all this stuff with you now. You know it anyway, a little. He's the God of truth. When you get saved, who saves you? The God of truth. God is true. God's the truth. And they tell a lie about God. He said, I'm the truth. You put that around your loins, my armor. Put the truth around you. Because your God happens to be really God. God happens to be really, 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 really who he is. That's the word truth, reality. Reality. God really is. Period. And what we've been reading really is. And that when you get saved, you really get saved. You understand? It isn't a lie. It's true. Gird yourself with truth. Because all of that is true. It's wonderfully, wonderfully true. The word true, reality. Reality, what are you doing, God? You want us to wear the truth to protect us from all the dumb things that are lies that aren't even true when we really put the pieces together. So, God, you want us to enjoy the truth. And the truth will set you, Romans 8, 20, 32, the truth will set you free. That's what it'll do. It'll free you up from the system. You're still in it, and you're going to be sheep to the slaughter, and you're going to have to go through everything. But it's all a lie. By that I mean, it isn't really what it is. It's somebody trying to usurp the Creator, taking away from the Creator his creation. And his creation can't be taken away. But it's seeking to take away the creation from the created, that's us, to enjoy God's reason he created us in the first place. So, back to Ephesians, I want to Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians, picking up in verse 9, lying wonders. And verse 10, this is 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perishing. Because, what's the reason? They received not the love of the truth. They don't want to know the truth. They don't want to know the truth. I don't think like that. You know, I got it. That, finish the sentence, that purpose, they might be saved. If they believe the truth, they get saved. Why? Because it's true. Christ died on the cross to really, really, really save you. And verse 11, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a what? A lie. That's right. It's a big lie. Christ is going to say, I'm the answer. I mean, the Antichrist is going to say, I'll fix it. He can never fix it. No one's going to fix this system. No one's going to change everybody's life. You can't do it. You have to get saved. You don't want to get saved, then you don't change. So therefore, in verse 12, that they purpose, they might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Remember Romans 1:18. Now, verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. Why? Brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the truth, of the Spirit of God doing it. And the Spirit of God does something wonderful to save you because you believe the truth, the end. Belief of the truth. You believe the truth. Don't believe the lie. That's the whole battlefield. And what's wonderful, God, you'll want to wear the truth. So God, closing, 1 John. Appreciate your patience. 1 John. And you will note in chapter 5, these things, verse 13, have I written unto you. He that hath a son hath life, etc. He that hath not the son hath not the life. 1 John 5, verse 13, verse 12. He that hath a son hath life. Verse 13, chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you. Moses write all the way through God's word. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Ah, now, and having believed, sliding down to verse 20. And we know, same word, we know, we are knowing, the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. What is that? That we may know him that is true. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the true God. God said, I am true. He said, I'm the truth. Keep reading. That we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Got it? It's a battlefield. But it isn't just here in my mind. We're at home school in my little circle. No, it's a big circle. And we're under it. And if you said, I don't understand that, you're under the power and activity of Washington, D.C. and the state of Connecticut. I can say you're not under it. You have to cross the border to do that. But otherwise you are under it. Yes, you are. You're under the system that's even over the system. The World Bank and the big stuff, the Great Reset and all the programs, the big money out doing what they do. They're doing what they're doing. And we just sit down here doing what we're doing. The powers are there. To say they aren't there, you'd be silly. And therefore, God said, put on the whole armor of God and gird your loins with truth. That's the only thing that'll protect you from a lie is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Got the idea? It's wonderful to know the truth. Isn't it? I don't know. Well, our Father and God, we thank you for your word. Spirit of God, help us in every way. And our Father will thank you. Help us as we just get a little bit and try here and there to try to understand and grab the awesomeness of this whole big, wonderful world we live in. And our Father will thank you in Christ's name. Amen.